WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump met with his security advisors in the Situation Room today. Linda Kenyon reports.
Sources tell CBS News President Trump is considering joining Israel in conducting airstrikes against Iran's nuclear sites.
Some of Trump's advisors are not on board. Robert Berger reports Iranians are fleeing their capital.
We've seen long lines of cars leaving the city, long lines of cars at gas stations. There's no money in ATMs.
The mayor of Los Angeles lifted the downtown curfew today. It was imposed during the protest over immigration raids. Legal analyst Lori Levinson following an appeals court hearing on the president's deployment of National Guard troops.
The panel certainly seemed inclined to give enormous discretion to President Trump in deciding to call out the National Guard.
California's governor filed suit over the deployment. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Wisconsin Democrats are looking ahead to 2026 with big ambitions. Full control of both the legislature and the governor's office. That trifecta was a central message this weekend at the party's annual convention. Delegates selected a new party chair, Devin Remicar, who says Democrats need to rally around a strong economic message.
We need to be very clear and consistent in our messaging. You'll probably hear me say a lot that we are the party that fights for the working class, defends our rights and freedoms, and protects our very democracy. I think that that is really at the heart of what the Democratic Party needs to stand for right now. We're going to repeat it in as many mediums as we can.
Remicar, former executive chair of the state Dems, beat out William Garcia, chair of the La Crosse County Democratic Party, and longtime Democratic strategist Joe Zepecki. But he faced some criticism over the food served in his hospitality suite, escargot and prime rib, with some saying it clashed with his working class message. Remicar pushed back.
I will say I was delighted to have a Wisconsin Supper Club theme at my hospitality suite last night. We did have prime rib, but it was a Saturday night, and that's a Saturday night special here in Wisconsin.
Remicar replaces outgoing chair Ben Wickler, who has far outpaced Republicans in fundraising in the last 6 years. Wilker eventually endorsed Remicar after initially saying he wouldn't take sides.
Especially given that I've been so in front of the scenes and Devin has been more behind the scenes, helping make things happen inside the party, I wanted to give credit where credit was due and share what an extraordinary strategist and leader Devin has been in the party already, because I thought that would help equip voters to make the best decision as they cast their ballots in the chair's race here at the convention.
Remicar begins his 2-year term on July 1st. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
Another win for the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, basketball, NBA Finals. The Oklahoma City Thunder, with a victory at home last night, 120-109 over the Indiana Pacers. OKC's Jalen Williams, with a playoff career-high 40 points, was asked how were the Thunder defensively able to hold off the Pacers this time in the fourth quarter.
Everybody's just really aggressive. Everybody takes pride in it. And when you have five guys on the floor that are taking pride in their matchup, it makes your defense very special. So we're all willing to cover for each other and just make the right read defensively. And when we mess up, we don't stop.
Game 6 is Thursday night. OKC up 3-2. Baseball tonight, the Brewers against the first-place Cubs in Chicago. Milwaukee's been on a roll since they swept the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park. Trevor McGill.
I mean, I feel like the team's been doing it for a couple of weeks now, ever since that Phillies, kind of turnaround series. We're stringing some wins together.
That's Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with a few showers and thunderstorms tonight and lows in the mid-60s. Cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms for tomorrow, highs 70 to 75. More sunshine for Thursday, warm and muggy with a few showers and thunderstorms by Thursday night. Highs near 80.
Currently at 77.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome. It is a Tuesday night in Wisconsin, and I would say, overall, this has been a great day. And I'll tell you exactly why that is, because we are all here together, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking about movies and TV and music and art, and we've got a lot of it tonight on the show. Rob Thomas, our pal, the Madison film critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor, will be here at 6:35 to talk movies and TV and some cool stuff happening in Madison that's coming up. And then in the second hour, our pal Piet Levy, the music writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, will be here talking about Summerfest. And I will probably ask him about Brian Wilson and get his thoughts on all that. Piet does great work and has for a couple decades now at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Just a great writer and always a fun guest on Nightlight. So lots of fun stuff to talk about tonight. Movies and music and some cool stuff happening in Madison. So we've got a great show. We've got a great question. Conrad is here tonight. Have you been here all week?
Yeah.
Okay. It says Dennis something or other on the... You left a wrong name up, so I would get confused probably during the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Does that sound about right, Dennis?
You know, I just think it's a cool name.
It's not too late.
You know, I did have something happen to me today.
What happened?
I don't know if it's just like my face or something, you know, but I was in a four-way stop and these two ladies, you know, needed to cross the street.
Okay.
I was next in line for the four-way stop, you know, one person went. And I said, you know, no, yeah, you can go. Waved them on. They looked at me and just walked across.
No wave.
They didn't give me a Wisconsin wave.
You get no respect. You are the Rodney Dangerfield of Northeast Wisconsin, my friend. That's got to stop.
I looked at him the whole way across and just waiting for it. And then just kept walking. I'm like, what's going on?
Did you try to intimidate them?
Maybe I just had that angry look on my face. Like, I didn't want him to cross, but I was like, I guess.
If I were you, and it seems to be the older women that want to give you the shiv.
It is.
You should let them know what you bench. Just that you are not a guy to... You look stocky, man. You've been lifting weights?
I've been lifting a lot of weights.
I can tell.
Did I tell you I benched 275?
Really?
Yeah, on my birthday.
All at once?
No, separately.
I could do that in like four or five increments.
Yeah, it's PR.
That's a good, what's PR?
Personal record.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very nice, dude.
That's... Never got it before.
Once? That's because your max bench is just, you do it once, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I just felt good that day.
You have a spotter when you do that?
I randomly ask a person there.
Okay.
It's kind of awkward, but, you know, whatever gets the job done.
Like, if you didn't ask someone and they saw you were struggling, is yours the kind of gym where people would come to your rescue?
Yeah, I think. If you started... I mean, I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't think they just let me die there.
Would do you think you could finagle your way out of that situation? Like you got it on your chest and it's not going anywhere.
See, this is the thing is that, you know, you got to put the weight things on the end, you know?
Yeah.
So like if that does happen, I can't like push them off. So I'm like debating if I should even use those.
Because you think you could lift one side and get the weight off.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. What do they call those? Butterflies or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. That's, I like to think I could get my way out of that, but I don't know.
I'm hoping I never find out.
I don't know if I could get all 60 pounds off my chest. Conrad, that's funny. I just said I benched 60 pounds.
No, that's good for you, man.
It's not a PR. I haven't benched in 30 years. I have no idea what I could get up. I really don't care, but 275, that's a lot, dude.
Yeah.
It's like lifting an NFL linebacker up off your chest.
It is, yeah.
You know? Fun show tonight. Our question of the night is happening right now, folks.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite or least favorite vegetable? It is National Vegetable Day today, folks. And we had Sherry Stoka on the show last night. And I would like to celebrate her successful run on Nightlight as a guest last night by asking this question. Because she talked about vegetables last night. And it's the national day. It's the National Vegetable Day. So what is your least favorite or favorite vegetable? Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. Or if you're listening on Facebook or watching the radio on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter, let us know there as well. You can text us on the stream and give us a like or a follow while you're there too. It's always fun to hear from listeners on Facebook or any one of our streaming platforms that we use to broadcast Nightlight. Let us know what your favorite or least favorite vegetable is. Conrad, you got an answer for that?
You know, I actually got three I dislike heavily.
Really?
Yes. Green beans. Can't stand them. I've tried them all the ways. My brother like has a vegetable garden. It's like, these are the freshest you'll get out here. And I tried it, and it tastes like straight water and a little bit of weird aftertaste to me. I was like, okay, that's not for me. My main thing I hate, though, is cauliflower.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I love broccoli, but cauliflower, it's that white. I don't know. I just don't
it is
like
a weird texture. I agree with you there. And when I was your age, I don't think I started eating broccoli, or I'm sorry, cauliflower until I was in my 40s, and then I loved it. It's weird. I really like cauliflower now, and I love sautéing it or putting it in the oven with some olive oil. But I understand that it's a strange looking vegetable too. It's not green. It's got a white. It reminds me of an MMA fighter's ear, and I shouldn't be thinking about that when I'm eating vegetables.
And then the last one, I just hate peas. I don't get why they're a vegetable. They're gross.
You and Amanda Nimmer on the social media said that peas were her least favorite. She said peas are useless. Well, they're not useless. She said, and disgusting.
Yep. I totally agree. But my favorite is mushrooms. I love mushrooms.
Yeah.
Is that vegetable board?
Yeah, that's a vegetable. I like deep fried mushrooms with ranch. That's my favorite vegetable.
Any way of mushroom I will eat.
Okay.
And I mean I can't. The obvious one is carrots. Those are great too.
Yeah, carrots are good.
Yeah. What about you?
I think I like them all. I don't like eggplant necessarily. I'll eat it.
I love eggplant.
But I don't, and it's weird because I like zucchini. I like cucumbers. I love zucchini, actually, on the grill, especially with some Parmesan and olive oil. And I've gotten to a point in my life where I kind of just started liking foods that were good for me. And I don't know what, something clicked. That's when I started eating cauliflower. And I pretty much like all vegetables. But yeah, eggplant just doesn't, it's kind of tasteless.
Have you tried it like on the grill too?
Yeah, that's better. And I wouldn't say zucchini is like the most, you know, tasty or tangy vegetable either. They're similar. But yeah. I don't know. I like the texture of zucchini better. Every time I have eggplant, it's like really mushy.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
so,
you know, I didn't like eggplant until last year when my brother kind of introduced me.
Okay.
And I tried it on the grill, but they also like breaded it. their way, though, so it was like really bad stuff.
Okay.
And then they put it in the air fryer, and it was dynamite.
So it's not deep fried, but it's breaded.
Yeah, breaded, but not like deep fried in oil or anything. It's just in the air fryer. It was really good.
Okay. Yeah, I would have to say my favorite now might be cauliflower, but I could eat broccoli. I could eat tons of broccoli. I like it all. I like zucchini.
Yeah.
I like peppers, onions, love onions and garlic. Yeah, it's all good stuff now. I'm glad I grew into that too, because I wasn't a huge vegetable fan when I was younger. And I do like peas, I will say. They're really good for you. They're very high in fiber, and I do like them. So
you know it's also high in fiber? A Fiber One bar.
True, but what else is in that?
It tastes a lot better.
What else is in that?
Yeah, you don't need to look at that.
The chemicals?
No.
Let's get Sherry back in the blower.
It's just fiber. That's it. Yeah. That's why it's called Fiber
Pure
One.
Pure fiber.
Because it's a fiber and one ingredient.
Well, I remember that Fiber One cereal that I used to eat when I was younger, just trying to get fiber into my system. And it literally tasted like you were eating sticks. It was the worst tasting cereal ever.
You know, Kellogg's released a protein cereal or something like that. And I tried it. And it was the same thing. It was like I was eating sticks. And then it got really stale super fast, too. So it was like wet sticks.
Yeah. That's awful.
I never got it again.
So I got to get something off my chest here. And I don't mean to, you know, I'm really happy here at Civic Media. I love doing the show from here in Green Bay. Todd Michaels is our fearless leader. But I feel like, you know, when the boss goes on vacation, we should have a vacation from the boss, too. We should not have to deal with his nonsense. He is on vacation. So it should be a lackluster, kind of a chill week here, casual. I'm wearing shorts tonight because Todd's on vacation. He should not be checking in on the chat. I see Todd because he can't let go. He's just a workhorse, and he's texting in on the chat. I'm like, that's not fair. I want a week where the boss is gone. And if I want to do the show in bare feet or no pants, I have that option.
Well,
it's just not fair.
You should do it at home then.
Oh, I almost did today. It was crabby. I didn't want to get the car. I drove here today, and here's the thing. It's very... You ever been driving on the highway and sneeze? I have monster sneezes, and especially like now with the pollen count in the air and the allergens and all that kind of nonsense. I had a double sneeze today. My eyes were probably closed for about 4 seconds on Highway 41. It was horrible. And I opened them. I was like, whoa, but I couldn't, you know, you ever try to sneeze with your eyes open? It's supposed to be physically impossible.
I've tried it. Yeah. I don't think I've achieved it.
Pop a corpuscle or something. But, and that's what made me think of Todd. I said, Todd is not here. He likes the driving in stories. He's supposed to be on vacation and he's texting in. And I don't think that's fair.
You know what? Since you're saying you should be casual.
Yeah.
Why aren't you wearing that Badger hat that I saw in the huge
company meeting today?
Yeah, in the company meeting today.
That was just because I had bad head.
Well, you could wear that here, you know?
I'm having a good hair night. If I had a bad hair night, I would totally wear that Badger hat. If the Badgers, like, go to the playoffs, I don't wear a baseball hat to work because I'm not an animal. I dress up. I like to look presentable. But,
you know what?
Half kidding. But if the Badgers made the playoffs or something, I would totally wear a Badgers hat.
I think you should just full Wisconsin Badger gear tomorrow. Jersey, some sweatpants, maybe get some Wisconsin Badger shoes.
It's not going to happen. Here's why. I find that strange. Like, I have an issue when dudes wear all the same paraphernalia. Shoes, sweats, shirt, and hat. Like, all Packer gear or all St. Louis Cardinal gear. Whatever it is, I just think that's a little juvenile. I think you're supposed to outgrow that. And you can cheer for your team, but I find that strange.
My favorite is when I go to the gym and I'm shooting some hoops, and there's a guy that comes in a full LeBron James jersey. He's the Laker shorts and the Laker top.
Right.
And he's the headband on. And the LeBron shoes, just to finish it off.
That's the same thing, though. That's odd to me. My son and I have that running joke. We're like, hey, like if a guy walked in a jersey, oh, LeBron's here. And one of us will look. It's like, no, it's a short white dude with a... hey, Kristen Lyerly's show, folks. If you haven't heard Kristen Lyerly's show, check it out on the weekends. I was a guest this last weekend. I just listened to it on the way down. She's really good. She does a great job. We had a lot of fun on the air. You can still hear it on the Civic Media app, which you should already have anyway, folks. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to read your texts, and I'm going to tell you something that really annoys me about the weather. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tell me, can you feel it?
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 12th, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly requested all the state of Colorado's records relating to the 2024 federal election and the preservation of records related to the 2020 election. The request may relate to President Trump's effort to free a convicted Colorado election official. The records request is massive. In November 2024, there were 4.65 million registered Colorado voters, 3.3 million of whom cast ballots in the presidential election. Then, consider the records from every electronic ballot tabulator, voter registration and verification documents for each voter, and more. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told NPR, "What they're going to do with all this data, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll use it to push their ridiculous disinformation and lies to the American public," she said. There is speculation that it may be related to convicted Mesa County elections official Tina Peters, sentenced to 9 years for giving voting machine access to conspiracy theorists tied to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. The week before the Colorado records request, DOJ was directed by President Trump to, quote, take all necessary action to help secure the release of Peters. To date, Colorado has reportedly provided two copies of its master voter list to DOJ and its 2024 voter history file. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at YouGotThis.USAging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Oh, where can you go when your money gets low? In the basement, whoa. Down in the basement. And if a storm is taking place,
sing it, Kyle.
In the basement.
In the basement.
There you go. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. I have to get this off my chest. I was really annoyed today, and here's why. We turn the air on. It's really muggy. It's not. I wouldn't say it's like crazy hot, but it's very muggy. We're running the air. I had the heat on a week ago. It's terrible. Who do I complain to about this?
Brittany Merlot.
Nah. I don't want to give Brittany extra work. That's what I do when I say my prayers. I say, God, what's going on here? Can you fix this? Our question of the night, it's National Vegetable Day, folks. What is your favorite vegetable or least favorite? You can share both. You can share one. There are no rules to this. Just have fun and be part of the show, and we will read your text on the radio. Dave on the stream says, best corn. I don't think of corn for whatever reason, but it is a vegetable. Worst okra. Okay. Those are good choices. I was not expecting to see okra tonight, but corn is good too. And I don't know, does the vegetable count if you can like douse it in butter and put salt on it?
I mean, you can do that to a lot of vegetables.
Yeah, you can. You want to know what's funny? Last night, Sherry Stelka was here. I always love talking to Sherry. Love her insights into nutrition and diet. And as she's leaving, I said, thank you, Sherry. You've motivated me not to have Taco Bell for at least 3 or 4 days. Guess where I stopped on the way back to town? It's because I mentioned it to Sherry. So I got it in my head, and I'm going, I think I need Taco Bell. And I haven't had Taco Bell in like 4 months. But
what'd
it was all of a sudden, it was really – you know what I get? I get the Crunchwrap Supreme because it's crunchy, and there's a wrap around it. Thus, the crunch wrap. But I get it without sour cream, and they're only like, not only, but they're 500 calories. So that's my only meal. I had two of those in two times.
Well, you don't know where the beef comes from.
I don't know if it's even beef. I don't know what the hell I'm eating. But I'm not.
It tastes good, though.
It was like a salt fix that I just, and I hadn't eaten all day. That was my meal, but still, it's terrible. And I hope Sherry's not listening.
Well, there are some vegetables in there.
There's a little bit of lettuce.
You get tomatoes.
Yeah, that's true.
I think some onions.
And the tomatoes are almost some type of shade of red. So I think there's probably a lot of nutrients in there. So I'm not proud of myself. But our question of the night. Oh, yeah, we got a phone call?
Yeah,
Ollie. Let's take that call.
Yeah, Ollie from the Northwest.
Oh, we missed Ollie last night, so that's good. Hey, Ollie, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. I have three different vegetables that I can't stand.
Oh, wow.
Our parents had a rule that you had to have one spoonful of something, whether you liked it or not. And if you made a face, you got another spoonful.
Oh, man.
Well, my two I couldn't stand was peas, lima beans,
wow,
and Brussels sprouts. Well, I learned how to swallow the peas and lima beans whole without having to chew them, but Brussels sprouts were a little harder to do.
Do you like Brussels sprouts now, Ollie?
No.
We're still don't
I don't like okay. any of those. Still.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much for the call, Ollie. Have a great night.
You guys too. Bye-bye.
All right. Peas are a big winner tonight. Brian from Green Bay says, did you try and smell their bathwater?
Was he talking about the people that are crossing the street?
Either that or the guys that are spotting you at the gym. Either way, I don't really care to smell anybody's bathwater. You know what's funny is, I totally fell for this. The Sydney Sweeney Bath Time Bliss soap. My daughter told me it has a hole in the middle of the soap, and it's only dudes buying it. I'm like, you have to be kidding. She pulled up a picture on, you know, Google or whatever and showed it to me. And it's a hoax. That's not really.
No,
but I believed it, Conrad. When these guys are paying this much money, and I know there's a lot of lonely men out there who maybe just want to curl up with a bar of soap at night, especially if it smells like Sydney Sweeney. I believed it. What? Are you telling me that's so far-fetched?
Well, I just got my 30-pack the other day.
Okay. How many bars are left?
No holes in it. No holes in it.
Not yet.
But I have taken a lot of baths.
Can I even say not yet on the radio? I don't know. Yeah, it was, I totally bought it and it would not have surprised me. I mean, it's weird enough that bathwater soap and bathwater is dirty typically, even if it's Sydney Sweeney's. So, but I believe it. I'm a sucker. All right. So, Annie from Watertown says Donald Trump pumpkin. What's that? A vegetable? Or maybe her favorite is pumpkin and she doesn't like Donald Trump. I don't know. Thank you, Annie. Mark from Prairie du Sac, he's in the 608, says, was talking what they benched. One of the first conversations between Dirk, Eddie, Mark Wahlberg, and Reed, John C. Reilly in Boogie Nights. Yes, that is one of the funniest conversations or lines in that movie. What do you bench? And it totally took me back to the early 80s when I used to go to pornographic parties at pools. So Mark also says, Mark. Oh, he sent that same text three times. He must have really wanted an answer. I hope we, four times, Mark. Mark also says carrots, celery, and pickled beets. I don't know if that means, I would assume he's just sharing the ones he doesn't like. You like those, Mark, or you don't like them? Let us know. Jim from Appleton, that's the 920. He says, explain this one to me. I agree completely with the K-Man. I love broccoli, but can't stand cauliflower. Well, I mean, they're very different vegetables. I mean, they kind of look the same, but that's like saying
they just
you
don't taste the same.
You love root beer but hate Mr. Pibb, you know?
Oh.
You ever do that? You go in and go, do you have root beer? No, but we have Dr. Pepper. Okay? They're very different. Do you have any idea?
Well, I mean, yeah. One is caffeine. One doesn't, too.
Well, they just aren't the same thing. You have Coke? No, but we have 7-Up. Well, I assume you had something. REPs are the big winner. Cam sent a picture, too, of me with a very tall forehead. Is Cam saying he doesn't like a, is that like a carrot thing or a cone head?
I think he just wanted to
do a
little Photoshop.
He's just having fun at home. All right, Cam, thank you. Let's not share that. All right, we're coming back. Rob Thomas is here next, folks. We're going to talk some movies with Rob and what's going on in Madison. So great to have you with me on this Tuesday night on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. When a school district doesn't have enough money to operate or build new facilities, they ask for tax increases in a referendum. And now, some state lawmakers want to put a stop to it. Joanne Krulatz explains.
At the Capitol, a bill to restrict how school districts could request tax increases through referendums had a public hearing in the Assembly Education Committee on Thursday. Delafield Republican Representative Cindy Duchow says too many districts are asking for more money. She wonders how much money is too much money for school districts. Eau Claire Democrat Christian Phelps says districts are already practicing fiscal responsibility by asking their voters for a tax increase and wondered why Republicans would want to strip local control from schools. The bill is unlikely to be signed by Governor Tony Evers if it makes it through the legislature.
A newly proposed legislation in Wisconsin would allocate $30 million to schools across the state to improve security measures. Under the bill, each school would receive a max grant funding of $20,000 for things like shatter-resistant glass, reinforced doors, cameras, and security training for staff members. And Republican state lawmakers are proposing new legislation that would create a pilot program for the use of virtual reality technology inside of schools. Under that program, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction would select one urban and one suburban and one rural school and distribute 3,200 VR sets to 16,000 students. The goal, of course, is to use the headsets to get those students more engaged in math lessons. Similar programs in other states have seen success with using these. As the virtual reality has improved math scores. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Law & Order SVU star Mariska Hargitay has had an incredible 26-year run on the show as Captain Olivia Benson. She has a side project that recently screened at the Tribeca Film Festival called My Mom Jane. In the documentary, Hargitay talks about her famous mother, Jane Mansfield, who was killed in a car accident in 1967. That is pretty much common knowledge, but what is not is that a 3-year-old Mariska was not only in the car with her mother, 2 siblings, and 2 other adults, but that she actually went missing after the accident. Apparently, authorities came to the rescue of Hargitay's 2 young siblings who were in the back seat with her. While taking her siblings to the hospital, her brother Zoltan woke up and said, "Where is my sister?" First responders went back and found Mariska, who was so small she was lodged under the passenger seat. Mansfield, her lawyer, and driver were all in the front seat and were killed. My Mom Jane streams on Max starting June 27th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy with a few showers and thunderstorms tonight and lows in the mid-60s. Cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms for tomorrow, highs 70 to 75. More sunshine for Thursday, warm and muggy with a few showers and thunderstorms by Thursday night. Highs near 80. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Who wins in war? Billionaires do. We discuss one such billionaire's efforts to buy Wisconsin elections and the lawsuit to stop them with Jeff Mandel and Scott Thompson of Law Forward.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down her hair. She would merengue and do the bad cha-cha. And while she tried to...
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. I am Pete Schwab. Those are the golden pipes of Barry Manilow, who turns 172 today. He's been around forever. I was actually surprised he was only 81. Which means, God, I was listening to him in the 70s. That's crazy. Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. We've got a great show tonight. We're talking movies and some fun things happening in Madison. And then we'll talk about Summerfest and some music with Piet Levy from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in hour number two. This vegetable question has really struck a chord.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do like an overtime thing, like a Bill Maher dealio here or something to get through all the texts. I think people are passionate about vegetables, whether they love them or hate them. But what I want to know is, how does Rob Thomas, Madison film critic, feel about vegetables? He's also the CityCast Madison newsletter editor, and he joins us now on the stream, as he so often does. Hey, buddy.
How you doing, Pete?
Are you a vegetable guy?
That's an interesting question. Like, I definitely was picky as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, peas and corn, that's about it. I think I've embraced most vegetables now, you know. But it does remind me, I was out to dinner Sunday and I had a side salad with my burger, and and the guy came to pick it up and he said, you know, there was still like a few leaves left. He's like, you want to finish? And I was like, for me, that's finished for a salad. Like, I'm not going to clean the whole thing out. But if I get like, you know, 2/3 of the way there, that's a finished salad. I get points for that one. Yeah.
So you're not a vegetable lover per se.
No, but I mean, you can make them good. You can roast asparagus or Brussels sprouts or whatever, and you can get by.
I agree. And I'm that guy that does just the opposite. I can't stand watching like the healthy stuff go to waste. So like my daughter will be like, she'll have a few bites of a salad, or my wife will leave a couple tomatoes or something. And I'll be that like human doggy bag when it comes to salads.
Good for you.
I try, you know, I'm not like the healthiest guy in the world, but when it's sitting there looking me in the face, I can't throw it away. I'd rather finish the salad than muscle down 4 more bites of a burger that I don't need, if that makes sense.
Wow. That's discipline.
I can tell you're impressed, Rob.
I am.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Summer's good. I'm hopefully in the home stretch of a summer cold here that's been sticking around, but, good. My youngest graduated from high school over the weekend. So
I saw that on Facebook.
Facing empty nester syndrome.
But, you know, I went through that last year. My daughter went to junior college or community college, I guess, for a year, and then went away last year for her second year. And it's like haunting. You know, the house is so quiet. And I remember when my son went to school and he had kind of the whole basement to himself. It's like a finished basement type split level, whatever. And I would hear him down there, even though he wasn't there. I hated it. I hated the adjustment of becoming empty nesters. But I hope it goes
great. Well, I'm real excited about it. Thanks for the pep talk.
So enjoy your fall. The Badgers are
that is funny. Because my stepson's controls the basement.
Yeah.
And when he's gone, I don't know if I'll feel comfortable going down to like watch TV down there, because I'm so used to that being his domain. It's weird.
You know, I read Al Franken's book years ago, and I just he said it's not about quality time, it's about quantity time. Big blocks of stinking time when you're all just in the house together, not even necessarily doing anything. And I totally understood that when my son went away to college, because the same thing, like that's where the big TV is. I go downstairs and it's like, it's weird knowing A, that he's not watching TV with me, and B, that he's not even in his room down the hall. Yeah, it's gotta be right. Craig.
Yeah.
All right. Now that we've depressed everyone, let's get to some movie talk, shall we? So, all right. So I'm trying to figure out where to start here with you, Rob. You got movies. You got some really fun stuff that I am in love with. CityCast Madison. I love reading that publication.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, it's really a good. It's just everything is fun. You know, whether you guys are rating donut shops in Madison or outdoor eating, it's just a great. It's a really fun read. So I want to ask you about a movie because Conrad saw this movie last week, and I can't remember if you and I had talked about it. The Surfer. I have not seen it yet. Conrad saw it and said it was really strange. Have you seen that movie, Rob?
I have not. It was okay. At the Wisconsin Film Festival when we were there, but
I
couldn't make time to go see it. I was curious for sure.
It was high on my list to see, but it's one of those films you see on Rotten Tomatoes where, you know, critics, I think it was like in the 80s, and then the audience was like at 50. And I'm like, okay, something at the end happens that people don't like or something, you know? And, Conrad just said it was really weird.
Yeah, it's about, I remember watching the trailer, and it's about Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
So what it was, seemed like a, you know, a trademark weird Nicolas Cage role.
Right.
Where he plays this middle-aged guy who goes back to this Australian, and correct me, Conrad, if I get this wrong, but Australian surf town where he grew up and is like bullied by the locals. And I'm sure it gets much weirder than that, but it seemed very out there.
That's the part that I responded to. I thought this could be cool. He teaches the young bucks a lesson, a straight up shoot him up or fight him up or whatever, but apparently right. Not.
Not even close.
Really? Wow. That's interesting. All right. Well, I'll have to check it out. Maybe next time you're here, we will have both seen it. But you've got some other films that you reviewed on your Substack. Check out Rob's work on Substack. That's where most of his movie reviews are nowadays. And let's start with The Life of Chuck. I really liked what I read about this, and it's based on a Stephen King novel, and Mike Flanagan is the director. You seem to respond to it. Can you tell us about The Life of Chuck and what your thoughts are?
Yeah. What's funny is you mentioned Stephen King and Mike Flanagan, but it's not a horror movie. Not really.
Right.
I mean, it's very hard to describe, which is probably a good thing because, the less, you know, in some ways the better. But it takes a very unconventional look at like one man's life. It kind of goes back in time,
right?
And makes these interesting connections. There's sort of kind of supernatural things going on. Tom Hiddleston plays the man as an adult. You also see him as a kid. It was the movie. I think I told you I love doing these mystery movies on Monday nights at my local AMC. And this was the movie, and I had not seen a trailer, just saw the poster and didn't know what I was getting into, but it's very light. I mean, it's a lot about death. It's a lot about mortality, but it's also, I saw a lot of comparisons to It's a Wonderful Life, and that it's very life affirming and very much about like all the connections that one life makes that you don't really realize at the time that sort of add up to the importance of a life. So, highly recommend it. You know, some people might see it as a little too sentimental, which I understand. But I think it takes so many interesting turns along the way where you're like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
That it sort of keeps that at bay, I think.
That's interesting. You said it started with like in the an apocalypse that just happened.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure I wanted to say that a lot. But yeah, basically the first act is the end of the world. And it's very realistic, I gotta say, in some ways, and like how people would face that. And you know, it's not like a Deep Impact or an Armageddon. It's just sort of like everything's kind of falling apart, and there's just this one very weird twist to it where everywhere people start seeing these billboards with this guy Chuck, and nobody knows who this is. And that's how the movie starts. And that's the start is act three.
Yeah.
And then you go to act two and act one. So it's a really strange structure, but that follows, I guess, Stephen King's story pretty closely.
Yeah.
So,
and the apocalypse part does sound like Stephen King and Mike Flanagan,
right.
I guess.
Well, I mean, they know how to hook you. Their story, yeah. You know, and there are a couple of, you know, I don't know what they'll call them, jump scares, but definitely shocks.
Really?
As that happens. But it's the kind of thing that sort of keeps you off balance in a way that's really good, because you're set up open to like, okay, what's going to happen next? What's, you know, and like, what does that mean? And who's this person? And yeah. So it's not a straightforward inspirational drama at all.
But you were kind of an open book in your review. Tell us what happened at the very end, Rob.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert. Yeah. I mean, it was funny. I think, like I said, it keeps you kind of held in. And it, like, so, like, it's very moving, but like, I was pretty dry eyed. And then, like, the last shot of the film, like, I just lost it. Like, in a way, I haven't in a movie in a long time.
Wow.
Like, it all just kind of built up. It was a really, you know, it's a positive experience, but it was really interesting kind of see myself go through that. And like, all of a sudden it's like, boom, you know?
Well, that part of the review, I mean, I liked all of it, but that made me go, I have to see this movie now. Like that it can affect you and creep up on you like that. That's really cool.
Yeah. I'm curious what you think.
Yeah. Let's talk about Rob Thomas is my guest, by the way. He is a Madison film critic and the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. Check out CityCast Madison. You can also follow Rob. He does a great Substack, great reviews in his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas. Is it Not That Rob Thomas? I got that right.
It is.
Yeah. Just Google Not That Rob Thomas Substack. Great stuff. So I wanted to ask you about this new movie too, Echo Valley, with that stars Sydney Sweeney, and then I think there are some other actors in there as well. Well, but what Julianne Moore is the other actor. She's fantastic. And yeah. Sydney Sweeney's not a bad actor. They're both great, but the movie, how was the movie?
It's just okay. It's an Apple TV Plus original, so it's not in theaters, but if you have Apple TV, you can watch it.
Okay.
And it's a kind of a thriller. The guy who wrote Mayor of Easttown, that Kate Winslet,
oh, that's a HBO great series, show.
A couple of years ago, yeah. So similar, where it's like a mystery, but it's or a thriller, more of a thriller, I guess, in this case, but very grounded in sort of real emotions. And like, Julianne Moore plays this horse farm owner who's had like a series of tragedies in her life and is sort of barely holding it together, and kind of the one. Kind of the one joy in her life is her adult daughter, played by Sydney Sweeney, who we can see is a manipulative junkie who is totally taking advantage of her mother. But her mother is always like, one more chance, and you know. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, one night the daughter comes home covered in blood that's not hers, asking for help. And it kind of spirals out from there. What's interesting is that it takes a twist in halfway through that I kind of thought I knew this movie was going. It took a really good twist that I did not see coming. But kind of after that becomes like a totally different movie, and it's not really about the mother-daughter anymore. So, Julianne Moore's kind of Nicole Kidman doing a lot these days on streaming. Like, you see, she has that Siren show on Netflix.
Yeah.
And she's really good in this, but the movie is not really quite up to her performance.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, right. You know, worth at least starting on streaming.
Okay.
How it goes. Yeah.
Well, we're going to do a very short break, and then I'm going to ask Rob about a new show called Department Q. We didn't get to that last time, and you mentioned it again, so I'm thinking maybe Rob likes it or really dislikes it. You'll have to wait through the break and find out, and then we'll talk about some things going on in and around Madison. There's some Juneteenth celebrations, outdoor dining in Madison, all kinds of great stuff, and Kelly from Wanakee on the stream on the text line in the 608 says, I saw The Life of Chuck yesterday. It was good. All right, Kelly. Thank you. We are coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwamba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Smashed in two. There was blood and a single gunshot, but just who shot who at the Copacabana? The hottest spot north of Havana.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You have Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, as Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Rich LoCascio. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I would like to introduce to you the Pine Tree Mauler from Marinette, Wisconsin. He is Pete Schwabba!
Thank you, Rich. I am the Pine Tree Mauler, named after the Pine Tree Mall. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Welcome back. Monica from Mount Horeb, she's in the 608. She says, eggplant to me is like licking a tire. I know it's odd, but I love broccoli, not cauliflower. Okay, that's all right, Monica. And Brian from Green Bay agrees with me. Damn it, Todd, put the phone away, says Brian. Let us have a week without the boss here. We don't need Todd chiming in on the chat. My guest is Rob Thomas. He is a Madison film critic and writes and edits the CityCast Madison newsletter. You can also follow Rob at his Not That Rob Thomas Substack for all of his movie and TV reviews. He does great work there. Rob, 501, we got a texter from the 501 area code. I don't know where that is. Pete, I'm 76 years old. Nobody has ever explained to me what the whole Rotten Tomato rating series is about. Can you? I can, 501, but we have Rob here. Rob can help me explain. It's basically just cumulative movie reviews. They add them all up and decide what percentage of it is positive and what is negative. Rob, do you agree with the system? I quote it all the time.
It's interesting. I mean, my reviews are up on Rotten Tomatoes, which is great. And you find interesting reviews, it kind of rates like you know, the New York Times film critic at the same level as, well, a guy with a Substack like me, you know? And so it's, so I think the, you know, the, I don't know, the statistics are probably weighted in a certain way because of that. But it's interesting to get people's temperature, I think, of like what they're thinking. And what is it, like 60% it's fresh and below that it's rotten or something like that. And I find a lot of times I'm like, a review is like kind of fresh, kind of rotten, you know, kind of in a way. Like,
right.
It's kind of hard to quantify that with a tomato.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, sometimes I'll read a review there. I usually don't. I just look at the score. But if you really do kind of dive into the reviews, a positive isn't necessarily a glowing one. It was like, this movie has some good parts to it. And I don't know if they focus in on keywords. They can't be looking at every single review, or maybe they do. But by and large, I would say it's somewhat reliable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, sometimes, and they also have an audience score there as well. Like you said, so sometimes like the Surfer critics will, you'll see critics love it, audiences don't like it so much, or vice versa.
Right.
So it's a good starting point, but I still like reading great well-written reviews. And I don't read them usually of movies I'm going to review myself, because I don't want to get other people's ideas in my head. But once I've written my review, I'm really interested to see good writing about other movies. And so, in that sense, you get little blurbs, and you sort of get an idea of what people are, and you can read the full review, what people are writing and thinking about.
I love that. You're such a purist. I like that you're like this respected reviewer, but you also like to read other people's reviews. That's
oh yeah, that's
so
how you
great.
Get better. I'm sure you listen to other radio shows all the time, Pete, right?
Nope. of course I do. Right, only right here at Civic Media, though.
Yes,
I just pulled up the Surfer, 46% audience and 86% critics. So
wow.
I definitely have to give it a watch. Let's get to some stuff happening around Madison, Rob. You've got, there are Juneteenth celebrations happening around town. Quite a few of them, actually.
Yeah, actually, Juneteenth is Thursday.
Yeah.
And it's a celebration of, you know, it's specifically in 1865 when Black Texans found out that they were freed. You know, Lincoln, I think, signed into law the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, but America being what it is, it took a little while for all that to be enforced in every state.
Right.
And that's become like just a celebration, I think. And there's all kinds of stuff going on. Like, I think I just saw the soccer team here, the Forward, will have Juneteenth themed uniforms when they play on Thursday.
Oh, nice.
There's a parade, I think that's Saturday, maybe Sunday, and a big sort of park celebration. I saw there's even a burlesque show.
Mm.
So all kinds of different ways for people to celebrate all week long here.
Go to CityCast Madison, because you guys got them all listed. I love that you did this too. You guys did an article, I think it was yours actually, Best Outdoor Dining in Madison. Let me ask you this, Rob. How do you guys do this? You have a staff. Do you all go around? Is this from memory? How much research is involved? Because they're pretty comprehensive articles.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Well, usually I'm either, you know, looking at other local media, or I'm looking at the websites or Instagram pages of restaurants, in this case, is to see, you know, who's opened a new patio. Some restaurants that I know have opened, like I think it's called the Attico Lounge. I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's on the roof of the Moxie Hotel.
Okay.
It has this fantastic rooftop bar space that on the ninth floor overlooks Bree Stevens Field across the street, where they have a lot of concerts. Incredible view. So yeah, just kind of, you know, and sure, I'll miss a couple and try and get them later, but it's just trying to take the temperature of what's going on. And you know, people love eating outdoors in the summer, and the Capital Times here in Madison has this great patio guide with like literally over 600 places you can eat outside, which is incredible. They're always updating it. So
it's so great. Definitely check out CityCast Madison. Can we keep you just for a few more minutes, Rob? After
of
the
course,
news? I do have to get to Department Q. So that is my vow to the listener. We will talk about that. But let us know, what is your favorite or least favorite vegetable, folks? That's our question of the night. PJ says best vegetable is broccoli. The worst is cabbage, especially when it's fermented into sauerkraut. I could see that. Paula, Conrad's mom, checking in, says, corn on the cob is delicious, but really not good for you. I'm the opposite of Conrad. I like cauliflower and not really a fan of broccoli. Thank you, Paula. PJ also says broccoli is great, steamed with butter. Agreed. PJ says tomato is a fruit. We got people taking issue with other people's answers here. When I get to these texts, all hell's breaking loose. Corn is apparently a grain. I didn't know any of this stuff. All right, we're coming back after intermission here for Act 2. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio. WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is considering whether to get the U.S. directly militarily involved in support of Israel in its war with Iran. From the White House, CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Should the president decide to follow through, there are indications he does not have full agreement among his closest advisors.
A three-judge appeals court panel today heard arguments in a lawsuit challenging President Trump's authority to deploy members of the National Guard to Los Angeles. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
The panel certainly seemed inclined to give enormous discretion to President Trump in deciding to call out the National Guard.
Masked ICE agents handcuffed New York City's elected controller and Democratic candidate for mayor Brad Lander at a federal immigration court in Lower Manhattan. They said he assaulted law enforcement officers.
I did not come today expecting to get arrested.
The charges were quickly dropped. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.